And welcome to In-Game Chat for November the 3rd. We've made it into November now. 2008, we are the official podcast of colonyofgamers.com. So check us out over there. You can check us out at ingamechat.net as well. And if you'd like to email us, we'll get it out there. Everyone at ingamechat.net. Music there from Mirror's Edge.
Man.
Was that one of the remixes that they actually released?
No,
or was
no.
was that like a fan remix or something?
That was the original piece from... I'd have to go look it back up. I can't remember the artist's name, but I'll look it up.
I don't think that's it, because I've heard that song. I've heard the original work, or what I've been assured by several sources is the original work, because it's actually got vocals and everything.
This one, that's a totally instrumental piece then.
Yeah, I know. I didn't hear any vocals.
Yeah.
So it makes an instrumental.
It wasn't, put it this way, it wasn't labeled as a remix.
Right.
So that's all I had to go on. When I was searching for it today, I found a bunch of different, like, oh, it's this, and oh, it's this, and I would listen to it, and I'm like, well, that's too thumpy. That's not the one I'm looking for.
No, the one I've listened to it's got what's her name's vocals on it, and the instrumentation is exactly what you hear over the trailers.
What it sounds, I don't know what came first, if they put her vocals over it or if like this group did this piece and then they remixed it with this woman's vocals over the top of it.
It's been really hard to find, like,
yeah,
it's like looking for the source of the Nile, man, trying to figure out which version of this song is like the actual legitimate original version.
Yeah,
all I know is how good I felt when I got done with playing Fallout 3. I was really, really frustrated because I was down to just a little bit of health. And I hear the thump, 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 thump of my heartbeat and, through my bass in my head for like 10 minutes. Finally, I get frustrated. I save my game and I quit. I'm going to go do something else. Oh, hey, Mirror's Edge downloaded. I fire that up and the beautiful music comes in, soothes me.
Yeah, beautiful yeah. Looking. I mean,
that's like a med pack for my soul.
I feel good now that you guys have all got a chance to play it, so we're all kind of on the same.
Yeah.
We're on the same page as far as the demo and everything is concerned.
You know, for a game like this, for a game like Mirror's Edge, we've been drowning ourselves in bland browns and darks and whatever else.
It's been a very murky present in game design, and like Mirror's Edge is like an Altoid, man. It's like playing an Altoid. It is like stark and fresh, and it's like I don't know, like some of that crazy gum they advertise to the kids that like when you chew it, all of a sudden you're on top of a mountain or something. It's like, yeah, wow, it's great gum.
That's a really good description.
But I mean, it's just like really, really like a refreshing game. It's just crisp. The presentation is crisp. The performance is very crisp.
How many times have you gone through it?
The demo, just the one time.
I do. Uh-huh.
I've played it, I think, 14 times between the two.
I've played it at least five.
Yeah.
I gotta say that although they did this in Grand Theft Auto, the whole, like, dropping the title text into the world environment.
Yeah.
Dude. Mirror's Edge kicked it up. They took it to 11.
No, yeah, they
that
really
was
did.
Gorgeous.
It's all basically a rip-off.
All the presentation. But yeah.
Yeah, it's basically the Panic Room credits.
That's the first time I ever saw it done.
Yeah, me
was the
too.
Panic Room,
and it's kind of become a common
movie.
Thing. But they did it, and I was like, well, they're doing that, but
they did
it looks
really,
really,
really
good.
Well. Yeah, with the way the environments look and everything, it just fits in so beautifully. It was really, really well done.
Now, you didn't like you didn't you
I
didn't
did.
Like
I
the
really
cutscene.
Hated the cutscenes.
Had you seen them before? Had you seen that before? Was the demo the first time you'd seen that?
I had seen the stuff on the like little videos that are on the web or whatever.
Yeah, which are essentially those same elements like
yes.
from the game.
I didn't realize, was it known that those were game elements? I didn't know.
I'm pretty sure it was.
Okay, because
yeah,
I wasn't
sure.
See that.
I thought I was wondering if that was just kind of like the Dead Space comic. I was wondering
thought,
if that was like
yeah,
a.
Yeah, see, I thought that was kind of like a hey, we produce this on the cheap on the side to generate, like hey, check our stuff out, like.
Because I don't know
it
why
looks really really bad.
Yeah,
to
see,
me.
You
the animation
I don't,
is really bad.
I see. I didn't have any problem with it. After you said that, I watched it several times. I was like, it's intentionally simple. They like. I think to say
there's,
they did it on the...
There's a difference between simplistic and, like, looking like poor, cheap animation. Like,
see, I don't think it does. I think there... Let's... I mean, just to be slightly rational about it, let's step back a little bit and look at who made this game. And then, like, take in the production values of the actual game. There's no way that they did the scenes on the cheap. Whatever they chose to do, however it plays,
I don't think they intentionally did them
deliberate.
Because they were trying to be cheap.
However,
I think that the actual production cost. That's what I'm saying. Like, regardless of why they did it, like, I'm pretty sure the production cost was cheap because you had a guy sit in front of Flash, and that's how they animated the scenes.
Yeah, maybe, but no joke. Was completely
get your
deliberate.
Laptop, pull up an Esurance commercial.
I did. I know what you're talking about.
The same thing. I think the same guy made it.
No, it's not the same guy. I think they,
I really do. It's that blatant to me.
I think the art style rubs you the wrong way because.
Well, I love the art style. Like, I love all the still shots. Gorgeous. It's the way they're animated.
But see, what I'm saying is, I looked at it, and you know, I'm fairly critical, and like, I didn't have the animations looked perfectly smooth to me.
Oh.
I watched them on both systems, and I watched them again, the same things that we had just talked about online. Like, I didn't see any tweening. I didn't see any problems with it. And I watched it. I was really trying to look for those things, mostly because as far as that part of the game is concerned, whatever, I don't care.
Yeah, well, I mean, that's obviously, kind of the same thing. Like, I mean, I played it 5 times. Clearly, that's not like throwing me out of the, you know, it's not going to the curb because of that. I was just like,
I don't really care. And I really like that they did that. I'm glad, actually, that they didn't rely on the in-game engine, on in-game assets to create the story breaks, essentially. Like, I like that they did what they did. I think it's going to let them... I think you can tell more with less in this situation, so I kind of prefer it that way. But to me, it doesn't really... It's no cheaper to me in any definition of the term than the stuff that they used in Max Payne, which was like rotoscoping a bunch of dudes standing in front of a green screen. Like... It didn't come off any different to me. And
really?
I believe, yeah. I'm not saying they look the same. I'm
I will
just saying
say, like, I will say that I really enjoyed the voiceover. Rather than, you know, trying to, like, the little overlaid narration.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed
that. Yeah, she reminded me of the insurance lady.
Her.
No.
Whoever they picked to do the voice, I think, did a really good job.
Yeah.
And it the attitude
I've
and the style.
Heard that voice somewhere.
It's all really competent.
It's really well done. I was really surprised. I expected there to be a lot of cheese going on, and there wasn't.
I mean,
as sad as it is for me to say this, anytime I play a video game and there's voiceover, like, I really expect poor dialogue and cheesy delivery.
It's not something we've moved past.
No,
it really isn't. I mean, there are great examples of it. I think that Fallout is an example of someone definitely increasing the overall quality of how voice work is done
right,
there.
Right.
If you compare it to Oblivion, I think.
Yes, vastly.
Completely knocks Oblivion out of the box. They did a much, much better job in Fallout. But, like we were saying, it was a little over a week ago, Far Cry 2 got an awful lot of spoken dialogue, but it's just like hammering on my skull the way those guys deliver it. Like, it's like, okay, this is obviously not very good. So, yeah, I think, obviously, we can't speak to the gameplay qualities of it, but I'm totally convinced that Mirror's Edge is going to be about that level of production value, that level of like slick, sharp presentation, and that presentation moving directly into the feel. Because if the game didn't feel right, I don't care what it looks like.
Yes, yeah.
And I was worried about it being swimmy and
well, you'd heard a lot from us, and I think this is the first show we've had to do that
where everybody's actually on
the same page, where we've been playing it. And I know we made posts in our show thread from when we talked about it from Thursday's show or Friday's show. I was talking to Daniel earlier, and I'm like, I don't know why this is such a better experience than it was at PAX, because essentially I'm playing the same thing, but...
Well, you had a tutorial.
I felt rushed when I was playing. I felt rushed when I was playing it at PAX. I have a tutorial now that shows me... I mean, he told me, here's your up, here's your down. It took me a while to learn that.
You thought you were
that.
Trying to play a traditional first-person shooter. That's what the problem was.
I was trying to jump with A, or X, or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah, and you have no idea, like having no tutorial. That's really like
the tutorial explains to you what kind of game it is.
Oh, and that tutorial was very. That tutorial's really well done. I liked, and certainly it's within context of how the game is done. But it's like, watch this chick do something. Now you're going to do it. I think the most difficult thing, it didn't bother me, but the thing most people have a problem with is the wall run 180 jump thing.
Yeah.
But that's just like, it just kind of. Takes a second to get your head around that.
Had trouble with it on the PS3 when I went to the 360. Not a problem, I guess, because I expected it or I knew. Okay, you know.
Oh, yeah,
I got to that part and I'm like, all right, this is what I had trouble with. Remember, it's this, you know, and was able to do it no problem. Prefer the PS3 controls over the 360
and it's funny because I think we agree that it's because of what we consider to be a design flaw in the PS3 controller. Like
right.
Slick buttons and the fact that like there's not enough distinction between, say, you know, L1 and L2.
Mm-hmm.
But because of how those things are used in the context of Mirror's Edge, like it's really much easier to let your finger drift from one to the other, which is kind of what you need. So yeah, I actually like it a little bit better. I want to say that the 360 edges out the performance a little bit, or I think it looks a little bit better. This is to a really small degree, but in doing my little thing where I'm switching back and forth between the two, I think that it looks a little bit better on the 360 and might have a slightly higher frame rate on the PS3. And this is going back and forth several times, like going through them several times. It just feels slightly faster on the PS3, but I noticed more aliasing on the PS3 as well. Like I was very clearly, noticed more.
Because we've been seeing this a lot lately, where like with BioShock, with the demo for BioShock, it looked like crap. And then I'm hearing tons of reports that the Fallout 3 on the PS3, which I know you're playing, Jeremy, is
I heard the same thing.
Is horrible, buggy, and just
is that proven true for you at all?
I tuned out for a second as reading the.
We were talking about Mirror's Edge looking. Or having some advantages on the PS3 than on the 360, or the 360 having some as well. And we're talking about Fallout 3. I've been hearing a lot of word that Fallout 3 on the PS3 is significantly, it's very, it's the lesser of the two. The 360 looks so much better, PC of course, but the PS3...
I have run into one graphical issue since I've been playing. It was kind of strange. It wasn't a big deal. It's just something that shouldn't have been. When I was shooting one of the big giant fly bee things, I killed it, and there was a black square over its head where a texture obviously should have been. And when I walked up to it, it kind of flickered in and out. And if I got up really close to it, my whole screen went black for a moment. Really freaked me out.
Yeah,
I backed up and everything came out.
Yeah, on your new TV.
But so far, that's the only glitch I've come across. I've been playing for a little bit.
I think, and that's I think it's kind of safe to say that those things have been more common on the PS3.
Yeah,
never necessarily game breaking. It's just weird texture issues, or maybe like a slight frame rate thing. I don't really know. I commend the way it looks on the 360. I'm very sad that I'm not playing it on the PC. I couldn't pull the trigger on the money since there's other things I'm buying. I mean, you know, I'm already on the hook for like two Lich Kings. Yeah. So, and I've got three accounts and one of them suspended. So you know, like, I already got lots invested in that thing. And
10 days away.
I have other methods for playing other things.
10 days away from that. 10 days away from Mirror's Edge.
A few other things about Fallout on the PS3 though. I spent a while playing Fallout 3, and after I got out of the vault, I think I talked a little bit last week, or I don't remember if this was after the show, about how Fable 2 had made me realize like what kind of gamer I've become. That a lot of games have beaten out the explorer in me, because
I think you and I were talking about that.
That was after the show.
One of the many things that really
why I'm having a hard time enjoying Fable 2, because I don't have it in me to go exploring. You know, something in the back of my mind keeps telling me it's a waste of time, because for 10 years now it's usually been a waste of time.
Well, and it was actually really insightful. You and I sort of traveled down that path talking about it, and sort of getting the point where you realize that it's at a point in time when it was cheap to render space.
Mm-hmm.
When creating more space in a game world was simply a question of laying out more
back in
tile
say
sets.
The 2D era before we moved into the 3D realm.
It was much easier to have a massive world
because
you're just rendering more tiles. So early PS1 stuff, some Super Nintendo stuff like that, like ran to fairly extraordinary lengths.
Yeah. But then you start building 3D worlds, and that necessarily has to
constrain you. Yeah, it's at a major premium for design time.
I always wanted to explore, and for so long it felt like I wasn't rewarded for that. That now I follow the main story, because something in me feels like that's the only way to be rewarded. I see this stuff going off in Fable 2 in different directions. I'm like, nope, I'm just going to follow my little golden trail, because that's where the next big thing is.
Right.
So
you'll be punished. Punished by not being rewarded. You'll be, rewarded with nothingness, with some wasted time, if you go off looking for fun, neat little things in a corner somewhere. I do understand it. I still haven't had it beaten out of me, but I've also spent more time in MMOs
during this
period of time than you have, which are all so, about doing that.
So come to Fallout 3 now. And I also, this will explain like why I was able to enjoy Oblivion so much, which was, you know, big, open, expansive, lots of stuff to do, but not necessarily, I guess, Fable 2. I get out of the vault, I go and I start doing things, and I don't know, very, very quickly I realized I wasn't having a whole lot of fun, and I felt like the only thing that was of any importance was to keep following my father, who kept, you know, apparently hopping around from town to town. And at some point today, I realized that in Oblivion, you know, I had a lot of fun because other than the main quest, there were all these other things, big, long, sort of story-ish things to do.
That were themselves, like, fairly linear quests within the world, well, like all the guild quests.
Right.
For example.
And I was like, for all I know, that there is some stuff like that in Fallout 3, but I don't know where they are because there are no achievements on the PS3 version. They don't have any trophies.
They don't have any trophies.
And then I realized that maybe some of my lack of enjoyment is tied to the fact that in Oblivion, I pulled up my achievement list. I'm like, okay, here's some highlights. I should go hit these things.
That's a good point.
And a lot of times in big games like GTA 4 and other stuff, I can look at my achievement list and say, okay, here's some highlights. I need to go hit this stuff because it's probably really fun.
Right.
That's why there's an achievement there.
Yeah, get an achievement for doing this. Not exactly necessarily about having the achievement, but it's like, oh, that's something I can do.
Yeah, it's like a little highlight thing from the dev saying, hey, make sure you check this out.
This is obviously very interesting because we're going to reward you for doing it.
So I, you know, once that dawned on me, I go and Google the Xbox achievement list, and sure enough, there's a whole bunch of, like, if you've done this quest, this quest, this quest. I'm like, oh, well, here's a to-do list. The map of the theme park.
Yeah, you know? It very much is the map at the theme park.
So maybe I'll have a little bit more fun with that now. Although I did finally, like, get to the end of chasing my dad down, and now that that's done, I feel like I'm having a little bit more fun.
Really?
I'm
at a bit of an impasse with that game because, and we've obviously beat the topic to death about how I play this stuff, and it was pointed out in one of our email comments somewhere that it's a very OCD thing of me to do, and this is very true. Like,
well, yeah,
I will admit that it's an extraordinarily OCD thing. Like. When we have to leave the house or something together, like, Dana knows to be ready several minutes before we can actually leave, because I have, like, this whole thing of stuff I have to check. And if it gets interrupted in the sequence, doesn't matter if I know I checked the thing.
Gotta do it again.
I have to do it again. I have to complete the sequence. I am very much that way. Like, I will sit around and get upset if things aren't lined up properly and squared together, like, on a table or something like that. This is what I do at a restaurant the whole time, is, like, line. I mean, whatever. It's just how I am. So, yes, this is very much a part of how I go into a game. And a game like Fallout is really just giving me enough rope to hang myself with.
Yeah.
And I get it all tangled around me, and it's like, I don't know what to do, so I'm very uncomfortable getting into the game. I get there, and I sit there, and I'm like, oh my god, I have all this crap I need to do. And I know that if I just sort of let all of that go and just went and did something, I'd miss a bunch of stuff. But I would probably make some progress and feel good. I was never, ever in the however many years since the game came out, have I been able to finish Oblivion.
Yeah.
For that same reason. I can't do it. I become overwhelmed and entangled. And it's, you know, other people don't have the same problem with that. They just don't care. I care too much. And so I really need to find a way to let it go.
One of the bugs they reminded me about in the chat room was the friend notifications of the PS3.
Yeah. Yeah, that happened to me today, and I didn't know what that was about. You logged on, off, and then on, and like every time that notification popped up, my game just went to crap.
Really?
My, you know, it just stopped moving nearly.
Oh, wow.
It was really bad.
That's frustrating.
So like three in succession, I was like, the third time.
Gosh,
like,
you jerk.
Well, I got
jeez, James.
Little Big Planet showed up, so I had to patch it.
Oh, and how retarded is that? Because that never happens on the.
Well, that,
you know,
that was one of the bugs that I heard.
Anyway.
That the worst time that happens
doesn't happen on the PC either.
They're telling
worst
you to
thing
turn
about
it
the 360
off.
Is just that it can be annoying. Like it can cover dialogue.
Right.
So a lot of times, if you have a friends list of any significant length, like a lot of times when you're playing something like that, it isn't the distraction. It's just really I keep subtitles up a lot so that I don't miss.
Mm-hmm.
And when it covers up.
Considering the devs can determine
Oh, now I got one worse.
They should really be a bit more intelligent than to pop it up.
I think they can determine, because you've seen the games where it's like very unobstructive.
Yeah.
It's just right in the corner somewhere.
In on the PC, they pop up at the top center. Well, where's your hidden caution detected notice on Fallout? Right. Top center.
Oh, wow.
So, like, I hadn't noticed it until, like, the other night I was playing, and I guess it just hadn't happened where I was stealthed and looking at that, and some, you know, I got an achievement or somebody got on or whatever. But I'm like, all right, does that dude see me yet? Does that dude see me yet? Pa-kunk! Yeah. And I'm like, oh crap. No I have no clue.
Man, I gotta tell you.
I sat there until it went away.
I do like that, because at any given point in time right now, easily two-thirds of my friends list is playing Fallout 3. And half of that or more are playing it on the PC.
I can see that
very clearly. So, obviously, we know where to stick the PC is dead discussion. really hasn't had much of a life the second half of this year, but, you know, there it was for a while.
The discussion?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, like...
Well, look at our thread from Friday's episode. People were like, where's the Mirror's Edge demo for PC?
Yeah, I would really... I find myself actually really wanting to play Mirror's Edge as a Games for Windows Live game. The same way that everybody's playing their Fallout 3. I would love to play it on my PC with my controller, but just have it on my PC. Because, I mean, it's hot. Like, it looks good. That game just looks good. And I know it's not to step too far back in that, but, like, it's such a great piece of trickery. Because it's all built into that art style is simple texturing, like very bland, basic, simple texturing. So you've got a very detailed render of the cityscape, a very complicated cityscape. But the frame rate is just, like, ridiculously good. It's ridiculously smooth. It's not spotty. It's not intermittent. It's not anything. It is whatever it is when you're looking at a blank wall is what it is when you're looking out over the city. And it's very, very well done. Like, It's that tiny little bit of polish that lets me know that these guys, somebody has been working their ass off on this project. And so, I look at it, I'm like, but look at these buildings.
Yeah.
It's weird. And I'm like moving the stick around, and it's like, it's still solid. And I'm like, yeah, it's because everything's white, red, or orange.
Yeah. Well, and they're...
But it doesn't matter, because it looks amazing.
And they're white, red, or orange, you know, and it's like rectangles.
Yeah,
like,
but
the way it's presented is just so good.
It is the perfect fusion really of style and substance to create this thing. To step back, I love that very much. But, yeah, I don't know. Regardless, if it can look that good on the console, I would really, really like to play it on my PC. I'm sure it's going to look great, but there's not even a date for the PC version.
I haven't heard a thing.
Is there? Like, I mean, we're looking at a release in 09.
Yeah, well, it's EA, and they're very, you know... We cover all three, or whatever, you know. If they can cover it on the Wii, they'll do it. But for the most part, it's your consoles and your PC. They'll support that stuff when it's EA.
Right.
I mean, even to the point that Burnout's getting a PC release. And they're EA. So
it'll happen. I know that it's about time to, like, start really recognizing EA as a group of people who are capable of. You know, it's like they've grown another head, the EA beast, and there's at least, like, one head that's in charge of making this kind of stuff. Because if I look back at the things that I'm most pleased about in the last, you know, 12 months, there's a significant number of EA titles in there. And I don't play sports games, so.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, like.
Good point.
I mean, and I'm not even saying there's anything wrong with that. I'm just saying there was a time at which it was like, well, yeah, I'm an EA fan, I like sports games, you know, stuff like that, so. They're doing a lot better work. They're doing really good stuff. I mean, even something like Bad Company, which is technically yet another thing that's yet another sequel, was a really, I don't want to say it was a departure, but
wasn't Bad Company DICE?
Yeah,
the same group that did Mirror's
Well,
Edge.
I mean, yeah. Well, technically, I would say it's the other way around.
Right.
DICE are the guys who, you know, DICE are neck deep in the history of Battlefield.
Mm.
That's their pedigree. So, but yes,
I mean, okay. I was doing it was the same one,
but it was just such a really great, application of that for the console and the addition of, frankly, a very good single player element, like, whatever they're doing Battlefield, it's going to have a single player, but it was like,
It was a lot of fun.
Dana beat it and loved it. She's very critical of first-person shooters like that.
She and her
closet core gaming stuff. But, like, yeah, you beat it as well.
I mean, they really nailed what they were going for. They didn't try and be yet another super serious, hardcore war game. Like, you had a very set of goofy, but not in a way too cheesy kind of way, characters. Like, they were actually fun to be around. They weren't annoying.
Right.
And kind of presenting that off-to-the-side war story was really interesting. Like, they didn't take it the same direction everybody else did. I think that's what made it a lot of fun. It was like, oh, this is kind of goofy and wacky. I'm having a great time and listening to this awesome music.
I know from now on, when I see that something is coming out of EA, I am going to take the time to pay a little more attention to you know, which of the EA heads thought this up. Like, which part of the Hydra is responsible for this project, you know? So, you know what? I feel a lot better about the fact that they're going to be handling Mass Effect from now on. I was really down about that. Like,
oh, yeah.
I was like, I was really down about it. I think a lot of people were. It was like, that's great. That's great. We already knew it was going to be a trilogy. Because at the
time we knew about that, which was, I guess, this time last year.
Yeah.
When we knew about it.
Yeah, it was. It was about a year ago. I was like, oh, man, that's pretty rotten news. Like, I'm pretty down about it. But looking back, like, kind of casting back to a year ago, because it's, you know, about that end of year time when we start thinking about what's happened in the last year. And I was like, you know, that I would even be willing to entertain the idea that they could make it better. I'm not saying they will, but I'm allowing myself a little bit of hope in that regard. So, definitely good stuff. But yeah, I haven't gotten back to Fallout. I haven't gotten any further. Dana took it over. She got back from her out of town trip, and I was like, "You have this. These are your choices. I have choices for you in the console room. Pick something."
I'll be in the computer room. Yeah. Come get me if you need me.
So,
well, since we're going back to Fallout for a second, let me say the achievements, in addition to being like my map to the theme park, I've also like realized I really miss them popping up every so often, like little, you know, Reese's Pieces along the trail. Hey, that's really nice. Thanks for that. You know, and I feel really good for just a moment. It's just a little extra reward that I realize in its absence made me feel really good, and now that's missing. Yeah. So I don't really understand why now, like, that the trophy system's been implemented, why one of the premier games on the system comes out without trophies implemented at launch. That doesn't make any sense to me at all.
You know, I'm telling you.
They're actually very important to me.
Yeah.
I mean, not... Once I'm done with the game, yeah, I'm done. You know, I don't need to, like, show them off to anybody. I assume that nobody even looks at my gamer tag on the 360. I don't care to show them off, but I like knowing that they're there. I like knowing that I got them, and I really enjoy seeing them pop up. So, you know.
It's a feeling of accomplishment, yes. Anytime that
take the extra
happens,
time
like, hey,
to implement them.
Yeah. Something, especially if you don't know it's coming.
Yeah.
The surprise ones
are
the best.
Well, that's always like, what did I do?
Yes. And then you hit the button to go look at the description. Yeah. Oh, what was that for? Something else, and this goes to the theme park analogy. I don't know why. And I'm a little ashamed to admit this, but Oblivion and Fallout 3 are the only two games I can think of in like the past 10 years that I've played on anything other than normal or harder. I'd cranked the difficulty down completely on both of them. I just was not able to enjoy them at normal difficulty. And I think it does feel like sort of a theme park experience. I just want to go. I want to immerse myself in it.
Yeah.
And enjoy the ride. I don't want to.
And watch dudes heads blow up in slow motion.
I want to shoot that rat in the head and watch it die.
Sometimes challenge isn't necessarily fun.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't have
exactly
to be.
How
the
I feel
two
about
are
this.
Separable.
Mm-hmm. I enjoy a good challenge a lot of the time, but for some reason, I don't want to be challenged in Fallout 3. I'm going to take some flack for this in the email too.
In all fairness about that gameplay style in Oblivion was broken.
Yeah.
I think that's fairly well known at this point, that the way that it presents you with character creation, like, what do I want to do? Here you are. You're breaking out of prison. Now you have to decide who you are. Well, I want to sneak and jump and pick locks, right? That's what I want to do. So obviously I pick those skills as my major skills.
Mm-hmm.
So I sneak and I jump all over the place, and my sneak and my jump levels up. So my character levels up. So all the rats level up.
Everybody's a lot stronger.
Even though my sword swinging is like level one. Like, it's retarded. Like, it was literally possible to break the game for yourself simply by doing what they told you to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that was just retarded. So yeah, you know what? Do whatever you want to do, and then crank the difficulty down. And it's fine. I don't... Fallout has fixed a lot of those problems. It's just not using the same mechanic.
Okay.
But regardless...
Yeah. Well, I tried to play on normal at the beginning. And then I get to the part of the game where you're going to get to Galaxy News Radio for the first time. And for the longest time, I've had so little health. My heartbeat's been thumping in my head, and it hurts.
Hurts your real head.
It hurts my real head, yes. Thank you. Yeah. I was trying to make that distinction and then failed. Was about to move on. So I have to save and reload because I keep dying, and I have to be very careful to get through this. And I'm trying to I get through it, and then I go, okay, I can rest, I can go find a bed, I can get a med pack or something. And I look around and I look around and I walk and I walk and I walk, and I can't find anything. I finally find a bed, and it's occupied. You can't sleep in an owned bed.
Yeah.
Actually, this may not have been at Galaxy News Radio, because I think I did sleep there finally. But it was around that point though when I cut the game off, loaded up Mirror's Edge, was greeted by beautiful colors,
yeah, great
and
music,
easy
like really
music
soothing
and,
stuff,
and a gameplay style that's like, hey, you don't have to worry about anything other than running, yeah. Run, jump.
You know what, man? Even when you fall to your death, it's still pretty cool.
It is. It is. and then you just get to try it again. You know. So it was when you said it was like an Altoy. That rang very true.
Yep.
It was exactly what I needed after that, and it gave me like the vitality to go back and play Fallout 3 some more. But right. I finally did turn the difficulty down, and I'm really enjoying it.
And that's
now,
whatever you got to do. Like it's your personal experience. You know, there's plenty of places where you can get challenged, and I know a lot of people necessarily equate challenge to
fun,
too good. Remember when we used to work at the game store a long time ago? Like people would bring stuff back and they'd be like, "This sucks, it's too easy." And I'm like, "What do those two things have to do with each other?" Like. Like I don't think like that, so I have no idea what that has to do with anything.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, but is it good? Like, what does it matter if it's too easy or hard? So I don't know, but I think that's tough. I think it's really difficult to create like a legitimate challenge, like a realistic challenge, which I think is one reason why I like Mirror's Edge so much.
Yeah,
it's a you versus the environment thing, because a lot of times, like, you know, a difficulty challenge in an action game or a shooting game means that this guy can be shot in the head 8 times before he succumbs to your gunfire. And it's like, well, that's
silly.
That's just stupid. Yeah. Like, it's just dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And then all these artificial coefficients are just, it's always awkward. It's always clumsy. I don't hate it. It's just clumsy. So, I haven't gotten much further, like I said, so I haven't run into...
I've gotten a lot.
Weather. Yeah, you've been putting some real work into it.
He's actually farther, I think, in the main story than I am.
Yeah.
I just had my first encounter with the Enclave.
Well, if you've caught up with your dad, you're vastly farther than I am.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah, I haven't got there yet.
You've probably been doing, like, story stuff and helping other people out.
The problem is like, I'm trying to go somewhere, and I'm walking there, and there's this thing that's, like, right over there on my map, and I see the little, like, undiscovered checkpoint waypoint, and I'm like, well, I'll just go grab it so that when I need to go back to it later, I've already got it.
Right.
Well, then I go over there, and there's, like, some guys. Well, I'm like, well, I might as well talk to the guys, and they send me to the other side of the map, so I go to the other side of the map and get distracted by 40 million things on the way, and it's very tedious. And I've got ADD when I play Fallout, because I'm like, doing this, there's that thing over there, what's that?
Yeah.
And then I go over there, and all
it's, right, so you,
it's,
you
it's really
bad. You obviously
have
ADD, I have OCD.
Yeah.
If there's any sort of behavioral disorder or character flaw that you guys can bring to the table, like,
I also have pack rat syndrome.
Do you really?
Really bad. Like, I pick up everything in the environment that I can pick up. And when,
that's
and then,
really bad in Oblivion and Fallout.
Well,
man.
I've stopped picking up plates and cups. I just said, I'm probably
not
going
to
need...
You at the very least max out your strength so that you can afford to carry all of this.
Well, I mean,
not a Sierra Adventure game. You don't have a, like, infinite pocket cram everything.
Well, yeah, so...
When does it get full?
It's
not full.
It's not
about
the
weight limit.
You just stop being
able to
move.
When you get
to
your apartment...
Okay.
You can put as much stuff in the cupboards in your apartment as you want.
Well, that's good. That's why you would buy houses. And it was the same thing as Oblivion. It's like whatever your strength is changes the value of how much weight you can carry. Every item in the game has a weight value. So there you go. If you want to carry, like, no kidding, like 5,000 plates or whatever it is, because they weigh like 0.1.
They weigh a pound, actually.
Do they actually?
Yeah, they weigh a pound.
Plates are really heavy. In the plates are heavy.
The minimum weight on everything except for... grenades is a pound.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
That's totally different.
Yeah, dude. If I've got a can of soda, it's a pound.
Stuff. Even if it's an empty can of soda?
Even if it's an empty can of soda, it's
That's
a pound.
Weird.
Yeah. There's so, anyway, heavy. So I like pick up everything.
Why are things so heavy in the future?
I don't run into the no healing problem because
something wrong with
as soon as my inventory is full, I go back and unload everything into my apartment. I have the weapons ammo locker, the clothes locker, and the miscellaneous junk locker, and I unload things and sort them. Heal up, buy up stim packs and
all that. There's where your OCD
back.
Kicks in.
And then go back out to whatever the last checkpoint was. So I haven't run into that yet, only because I go back home all the time, constantly. Yeah. I'm constantly headed back to my apartment. Which I think is probably why I'm not as far in the story as you am.
That's probably true. Have you found the love nest yet?
I guess not.
Oh,
wait, is it the one guy?
The one guy and the two girls?
Yeah, I found it.
I accidentally walked in there with my gun drawn.
I haven't done that yet. I'm going to go back
and do
that.
Is that a euphemism?
No. But it freaked them out, and now there's two girls who were running around in their underwear in the wasteland. So,
and not one guy?
No, he stayed.
Oh.
He wasn't that freaked out.
All right, well, we got to take a break, and when we come back, we'll go over the weekly release. We've got plenty more coming out this week for us, so... Welcome back to In-Game Chat. Looking over the weekly release that we've got coming up this week, it's another big one. There's a lot of stuff in there. I mean, there's a ton getting released.
Well, we've got a couple big hits.
I was going to say, I don't necessarily know that you want everything that's getting released, but there is a whole lot getting released this week. Let's see. We've got the new James Bond game, Quantum of Solace.
Which, you played demo?
There's a PC demo. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was gonna say.
Sorry.
What?
I played it. It was. I mean, I was shooting some guys. I was like, well, this works pretty good.
Shooting guys.
I could do this.
Basic shooting guys. Anything? Is it just?
No. It seemed like pretty basic shooting guys. Like guys would show up and I would shoot them.
I was curious if there was any other kind of mechanic there or anything.
It didn't seem to be. I could like behind some stuff, but these guys were really stupid.
Weapons on the ground. You pick them up. You shoot the guys.
Yeah.
You know, the Bond goons were always kind of dumb. Anyways.
Hey, whatever. Like, I was shooting them, and like, it was all right.
They're falling over.
Yeah. Okay.
What more could you want, really?
We also get End War this week.
Oh, that is this week.
Yes, it is.
Yeah, it is.
Hey, what are you doing about that? Do you care at all? I mean,
I think he does.
Does it find time? I mean, I don't even think there's anything wrong with that, because while I think that it's ultimately not going to come off as a success, I am still very, very impressed by the quality of the voice recognition.
Did you watch the Parrot video?
No.
Oh.
No, I didn't.
So I don't know. It's a trailer for the game, but like the parrots are saying the commands in like a very squawky whatever, and it picks it up.
Well, I mean, I had access to it at one point.
So did I at some point too. It's amazing that both of us would have access.
I know, but different people. I would just say that I happen to know that different people, accessing the same gameplay session that's been tuned for someone else's voice, still worked brilliantly.
Oh yeah, totally.
So really, just in terms of the quality of what they're able to do, I think that they did a great job. So, but just what a rough time to.
You know, it's kind of out there. But when he said like the parrots. I just got this picture of like this guy with these racks and racks of parrots, and they've each been trained to say a specific thing, and there's just like one mic, and so he like hits them with little mallets to make the commands, and it just really, I almost lost it.
It's over on Game Trailers. You gotta watch it. He's got two parrots.
I like mine better. It will not top whatever I just came up with in my head now.
Okay. Is that kind of like the dogs barking jingle bells?
Kind of more like Monty Python's Flying Circus.
Okay.
Playing the song on the mice, where he hits him with mallets. Yeah,
I got you.
That's coming out. Yeah, and I'm really torn. Like, I really want to play it, but I think I'm going to play it later. It doesn't seem to me to be something that I need to play right now.
Yeah.
And so I think it's going to have to wait.
That's a solid choice. Because what else do we have? We've got
Resistance 2.
We got Resistance 2, which that's no small thing.
Yeah. Well.
No. Not.
Yeah. I was like, what am I going to? Yeah.
Pretty excited.
I'll put it on my finger and spin it.
Yeah, and it's got co-op.
It has co-op.
And it's got 60-man multiplayer. I'm not really... okay.
That was a strange experience for me in the beta.
It was a strange experience for a lot of people, like, that I talked to, yeah.
Jeez, that's a lot of guys. Like, I don't even know how I died. It doesn't matter.
There's a ton of guys.
One of those 40 guys right there killed me, you know? It was like, whatever.
So, yeah, that's this week, and also Gears 2 is this week as well. Those are your big ones coming out this week. So, Gears 2 I'm interested in. Same Gears. I'm sure there are modifications. I'm sure there are tweaks. There are improvements.
Well, yeah, they fixed the whole thing about the first one not having a story by, this one guy has a picture of something, and then he sort of looks a little sullen before he goes back to doing the same crap he did in Gears 1. Like, it's totally different.
Well, maybe it's longer. That would be an
improvement. I don't know. Like, whatever. I totally understood Gears 1 to be what it was. I despised the multiplayer. I just didn't like the multiplayer. It was a weird, sloppy thing that I didn't like.
Yeah, I didn't like it either.
There's a lot of multiplayers that I didn't like until COD 4 hit, and then I accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And then when COD 4, yeah, I was like, no, you
it,
can't.
It changed. It changed the game a little bit. But I just didn't like single player. However, well, not even the single player, the campaign. Played it by myself, played it three times through again with other people, like co-oping. It was what it was. And I was like, okay, I am not, I'm not sold on this particular idea completely. I don't really, love what he's doing here, but I get it enough to get it and spend some time with it. So I'm at a real disconnect from the people that are really serious about it. But
yeah.
I'm serious about it. I mean, that's totally fine.
I'm serious about it the same way I'm serious about Resistance 2 is the fact that it's got co-op. Resistance 2, I believe, has, what, 8-player co-op?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's got much bigger. And I would maybe more excited about Gears if it had 4-player co-op.
I liked it. I liked it as 2 players. I thought it was pretty good. I mean, I really did have a lot of respect for how they designed the co-op campaign with the branching paths.
Well, I realized
paths
what they did
in
the multiple
paths. I thought it was actually pretty good.
Yeah.
So we'll see. I mean, we should definitely try some Resistance 2 to whatever degree we're able. Like, that would be that would be really, really great. But I am looking forward to that. I'm looking forward to Gears as well. Gears is coming out within a week of, like, I don't know, what's bigger than an 800-pound gorilla? Like, what do we find? Because that metaphor just doesn't line up, because it's week after week after week.
World of Warcraft is bigger than an 800-pound gorilla.
That's what I'm saying. Like it's like Kong big. For me, you know what I mean.
Yeah,
that's a really
big
really
for about 11 million people.
That's a big. Well, that's not 11 million people. 11 million accounts.
Well, sure.
Yeah,
I understand.
I got 3 of them.
Fine. So.
You and I played this game last week when
exactly.
I was trying to talk about the magnitude of the money
Six
that they
million
earned.
People.
But that's just a big deal, and that's definitely where I'm going to be, because I have a lot of people there, and got to do some leveling and see.
But you know what else comes out this week for PC folks that we played at PAX? Defense Grid.
That's right. I got that email about that. Yep. Yes.
Defense Grid comes out on the 5th. Which, if you like tower defense games and you got a PC, it was a lot of fun. I had a really good time. I think they've distilled the tower
defense model down.
Thank you. Thank you to some really fun elements. And
which I think is funny.
They made it in a little 3D environment.
That it requires any more than
that. Distillation. Built some towers.
I thought it was about as distilled as it could get. But
that, well, I mean, like, they distilled down, because there's a ton of them now.
It's become like hydrogen.
Well, it's become... yeah. Honestly, like, it's pure fun. You just, touch the monitor and they found a way to flash light into your palm. And it's... No, but, because of it became so popular, they became so many, it actually became, tons of people throwing on different things to make their game unique.
Right.
And it really kind of became cumbersome, what cheesy gimmick does this tower defense game have? And some of them were good and some of them were bad, and they kind of blend a lot of different elements together to make something that's actually really, really fun to play, and it doesn't feel like anything was thrown on to feel unique or anything. It feels very these are things we want, because this is what we think is cool, and we didn't throw anything else in there, just throw it in there. And the control system is really, really good.
Sounds good, then.
For the arcade this week, we got Vigilante 8 arcade.
Oh, and,
yeah.
How about that?
Yeah.
I remember playing it on PS1, not very much, but I remember playing it. I don't remember much, but It seems a lot of people are looking forward to this. So that comes out on the arcade for you on Wednesday. So that'll about do it for this episode of In-Game Chat. This is our
next to last
episode from this studio.
Episode. We'll still just, you know, as a reminder, bring you the three episodes a week, but we just won't have this live format anymore. Not that, you know, like this particular episode, we don't have our interviews and stuff, and we don't have our callers, which is something that we're still trying to figure out how to do in our other episodes, but...
Right. But, yeah, so that'll be it for this up here, for what we're doing.
We got about a minute left. I should throw this out there since we didn't mention the Penny Arcade episode 2.
Yeah.
All that really needs to be said is it's as fun as the first one.
Yeah,
It's more of what the first one was, and if you like Penny Arcade, you'll
that's
probably
exactly what
still
it needed
like
to be.
Yeah.
Oh, and the best part is when you're looking at something that is clickable, anything in the near area.
How did they fix that?
Dim highlights. That
oh, I didn't play the console version. I played the PC.
Oh, okay. Well, you can.
That was a real bad. That was a real bad problem.
Which they fixed a lot of my graphical issues in Linux. Thank you.
That's
great.
You can hit the bumpers to cycle through.
It played what is
their problem?
You.
That can be clicked.
Huh?
What is your problem?
Doing all this stuff right and fixing
Come
things?
Come on, man. you're messing it up for
this
everybody
is the
else
games
out there.
Industry we're talking about here. This is not how we do things.
There's people out there that need to not do this. And they don't need you raising the bar.
No graphical issues, no DRM issues. I had a great experience. That's true. There you go.
These guys should make more stuff.
Yeah. There's achievements, and it's $5 cheaper. So,
yeah. Hey. Right, what are you going to say?
Yeah.
Good job all the way around. So, yeah.
But, yeah, that'll pretty much do it for this episode. Next week's episode is our last from here. Join us.
We really encourage you to listen.
Yeah, it's really special, and it's going to be really amazing.
And we're just not, we're not just being snarky and weird. That's very true.
No, we're not. I mean, this isn't sarcasm coming through. We're serious. It's a big show next week, so make sure you tune in for it. Seriously, you will kick yourself if you miss it.
It's true. it's actually quite true.
I can't go any further than that. I wish I could, but...
Hopefully we'll find out soon.
And it's just coincidence that it happens to be our last show.
Yeah, we got lucky. We really did. Lucky.
Because this whole thing almost killed us. But anyway, that's it. We'll see you later in the week on Wednesday for more of In-Game Chat. Thanks for joining us.